Yep.
All right, can I have everyone's attention? Thank you for coming. It is lovely to see everyone here. It is 6 o'clock, so we are going to go ahead and call our meeting to order. This is the Monday, October 17th, 2022, Mayor and Council of Fredericksburg workshop. And first, we have on the docket public comment. So if somebody would like to make public comment, you can step up to the microphone, announce your name and your address, and then you can speak, and then we will move on to the next part of our agenda. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, next we have the proposed election district discussion. Town Manager DeRay.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, you've got the, in the packet, you've got the letter that came from the civil rights group. They're concerned about the dissolution of the, or dilution rather, of the majority black votes in certain parts of town. That's typically remedied by a district approach. And I'll apologize for my voice. That's typically addressed by a district approach. Two district maps, one with a one member, four district, or four wards, as they're called, map is provided. And there's also a second map, which is two member, two districts. Mr. Cooper, Bill Cooper, is the demographer who put the maps together, and I'm sure he's able to provide much more insight as to why the district lines were drawn where they were, the data he used, and anything else. So if there's any questions specifically about the maps, Mr. Cooper's the one, to entertain those questions.
So Larry's going to, so once Mr. Cooper joins, you can go ahead and,
The remote's up there.
Which, is, does it matter which remote? Is it the one that Rob has or the one that I have? Looks like this one works. So, Ms. Gian, did you want to mention anything, or did you want to go ahead and roll right into Mr. Cooper?
I think you need to enter on the computer, and it'll show up. It'll bring the maps up.
On your computer?
Well, it'll bring the maps up. But we need a computer. We don't need live TV or sleep time or whatever it is.
Yes, he is online.
Okay.
So now we can ask. Mr. Cooper, can you go ahead and share your screen and start?
There's a couple of seats up front, if you'd like.
Mr. Cooper, I just made you the host, so you should be able to share your screen.
Hello?
Hello?
I can't seem to hear anything.
Can you hear us now?
Yes, I can now.
Okay, you're all set. Do you want to make that bigger? Can you meet Kim? There you go. Okay. Okay, you're on the big TV.
Great. Well, my name is Bill Cooper, and I live in Virginia, but I have traveled up the highway sort of between the Eastern Shore of Virginia and Delaware, so I've been pretty close to Fredericksburg. I think I've seen the highway sign for it, but never actually been there. In any event, I do plans for various civil rights organizations around the country. And so it's not that unusual that I haven't got a good tour of the town of Fredericksburg. Plus, it's very small, the town itself. So it's easy to put together draft plans. And you have before you today, I think, a couple of draft plans that I developed in a matter of just a couple of hours, really, on two days in early April, one of which was a four-district plan that would divide the city into four wards, and the other one would divide the city into two wards. The four-ward plan has two majority black districts, voting age majority black, and the two-ward plan has one. At the time, I didn't have a lot of information other than just the census data. I didn't know where the incumbents lived, for example. So I just drew these plans based on the 2020 census, as reported by the U.S. Census Bureau, with one little minor twist in that the state of Maryland, for part of their redistricting purposes, takes the statewide incarcerated population in state prisons and reallocates them back to their hometowns or place of last residence. So when calculating one person, one vote data, I utilized the state's prison-adjusted census count for that purpose. There's very little difference in the Census Bureau's reported numbers and the adjusted data from the state. Is, I think, 10 or 15 people difference for the whole city of the whole town of Federalsburg. So I have the information on screen showing the two plans that I prepared. If people want to look at them in more detail, we can do that. Or if people have questions, I may or may not have answers, but we can try. Maybe it'd be better for you just to ask questions instead of having me just kind of ramble along here without any real direction in terms of what needs to be said.
So I would say if you could...
You guys are the experts.
If you could bring up just a sample of the map and just kind of how you did the overlays and how it works with the census data so everybody could see that, that would be helpful, I think.
Okay, let's see if this works. Oh, look, it did work, didn't it?
Great job, yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is the four-district plan that I did back in April. And districts 1 and 2 would be the two majority black districts, and districts 3 and 4 would be the majority white wards. And these little numbers here show the total number of people in each census block as enumerated by the Census Bureau in the reporting census. And the, of course, the numbers you see, 1, 2, 3, and 4, just identify the draft wards. And these are just rough drafts. They're not necessarily cast in stone by any stretch of the imagination. And you can see that in this top column, in this top spreadsheet, the breakdown of the population, the adjusted population from the state of Maryland, and then the official census count, which is always just a little bit lower than the adjusted population, and then the percentage black for all ages, and the percent Latino all ages, and then if you scroll further over onto this spreadsheet, you would see the total voting age population there, 18 pop. And then a little bit further, you would see information about the single-race black population and this category of any part black, which includes persons who are both black and at least one other race. So that would include all persons who identify as at least some part black. And I noticed in the... In the spreadsheet that I had sent to the ACLU, I had a copy and paste error there, so the actual any part blacks for all ages should have been 71% in District 1 and almost 60%, 59.6% in District 2. I think if you looked at that table carefully, you would see that there were 104% or some such number for the any part black figure, and that's incorrect. I copied and pasted the incorrect data, so that would need to be fixed. But the total population number is correct. It's just the percentage that was off. And that doesn't affect the voting age, just the all ages categories. And I also, of course, did the alternative plan, which would just subdivide the city into two wards, District Wards 1 and Wards 2. And I can bring that one up and let some of them have a question about this plan.
Does anybody have a question about this plan? I think you're good to pull up the second map. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to do that from this angle here. Whoops, got to zoom out a little bit. So here you see, and these little red numbers show the population around the town of Federalsburg. And I will get rid of that particular display since we're really just focused on Federalsburg. And here you see, whoops, well, you zoomed out. Hang on here. So this is where I coded the these red asterisks that I suppose you can see show where I think the incumbents went. And so in this plan, which is a two-ward plan, I have two incumbents and I better put the district number up there. I guess you can see it on the handout. The green district is District 1, and that would be the majority black district. And the blue district is District 2. And actually, I should correct myself. In fact, all four are in District 2, but you can see that there's, at least that's the way I identified the addresses using the mapping software. It's possible that it's not exactly precise, but in any event, two of them could easily be moved into the green district with no problem in another alternative plan. I just didn't have that information when I was first drawing this plan back in April.
So I have a question. The numbers, like where it's 81, 72, that's the number of residents in each area.
I don't know where you. You mean all the
right.
All the numbers,
the like dark bolded numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the number of people in each census block, and census blocks can take on all kinds of different sizes and shapes. And there's one up here in the northwest corner, which has 459 people in it. Then there are a lot that just have zero, or just small number, single digits, one. One down here has nine people in it. There's one that's in blue district number two that has 117. So there are different population sizes in each census block. Generally, census blocks are going to follow observable boundaries like streets or creeks, that sort of thing. So I don't know how many census blocks there are in Federalsburg, but there are enough to divide the town easily into four districts or two districts. Any questions? This is I'm showing this on the software I use that allows you to click on a block, say if we wanted to move this block here into District 1, then you could just click on it, and bingo, it goes into District 1. Now there's an incumbent in District 1, but this is just to show you how it works. And if I decide, whoops, we didn't want to do that, just click on an X, and I'll get rid of it. Now we're back to where we were. So this, fortunately, Federalsburg is a small town, so it's a very easy task to draw districts. It's not like trying to draw the legislative plan for this whole state of Maryland where you're dealing with dozens and dozens of districts.
Does anybody have any questions?
I do these all over the country. Just this year, I've worked in probably at least a dozen states. I think Fredericksburg is almost the smallest city I've worked in, although I did, well, it would be. It would be, I think, the smallest city so far that I've gone on a plan in this year since the release of the 2020 census. But I've done a few plans for places as small as 700 or 800 people.
Mayor Abner, I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Is he, based on his expertise, is he able to weigh in on if he believes it would be better to have a 2-ward or the 2 or 4 ward, based on his expertise? Is he able to weigh in on that?
So when we had a discussion with him before, and I can let Mr. Cooper then talk to that as well, it was we needed some of the industrial park is included. So he doesn't know the town, so he felt it might be easier if we worked with the community to help establish whatever we were going to do so that there was input from the community members that know the town versus, like, some of the census data, if somebody didn't fill anything out, they might not be counted. And we looked at the numbers, and Councilman Phillips said, there's more than that many houses there, so I know there's more than that many people that show in that census block. So part of that will be to get a true idea of how many members we were missed during the census. But Mr. Cooper, can you speak to whether it's 2 or 4, or is it pretty much better off depending on the community, how it would work?
Well, yeah, it really depends on the citizens, which plan they prefer. Either one is doable, a four-ward plan or a 2-ward plan. If you have a 2-ward plan, it means that it would be less likely you would need to change it in the next decade, when the 2030 census is out. But chances are you'd probably have to change. People move around, and the population of Fredericksburg is so small that just the slightest little shift of a couple of neighborhood blocks could mean that the population of the 2 wards is imbalanced. Normally, you want to have wards that are roughly equivalent in terms of population size, typically between plus or minus 5%. So in the 4-ward plan, the ideal population size was, I can find that here somewhere, was in the neighborhood of 700 people, 712. See, this is within three persons of being perfect deviation. And so you then look at the 4 wards, and you take the ward that is most populated and the ward that is least populated and add up those two numbers, 2.94, and then turn the negative 1.54 into a positive number. And then you add those up, and you get 4.48. And anything that is under 10% is considered to be adequate to meet the one-person, one-vote requirements. Sometimes you can go a little bit beyond 10%. But you can see that just a few people starts to make a big difference. 21 people and over, and you're already at 3% deviation. Because these wards are so small in terms of population size, but if you go to the 2-ward plan, then you can see that even with a ward that's off by as many as 65 people, you'd still be within plus or minus 5%. And all of this population data that is not shaded comes straight from the 2020 census. So you see the population that is single, that is any part black, Latino, and non-Hispanic white, and then the same thing for the voting age population. And the suggested population figure, again, is the count that comes from the state of Maryland, taking into account persons who are incarcerated and not currently living in the town, black who at least indicated it's either hometown or place of last residence. There's very little difference. There's like, you can see about 20 people difference there. 2858, if you count incarcerated population versus 2833.
Any other questions?
At present, all four incumbents are living in, at large, which is what you're serving right now, all four incumbents, if you were to break it down to the two districts, all four of them would actually fit into the two districts.
Correct.
Correct.
In district number two. Mm-hmm. That's right. But I'm not basing this on official addresses exactly. But there's one company who lives in this block that has 52 people, and another one that lives in this block that has 43, right on the edge, according to the information that I have. So it would be very easy to shift this block out and this block out, and put it in district one. Yeah. And then make another minor shift somewhere to put some more people into district two.
So two of the red dots are incorrect. The North Main should be a South Main. And then
they have me living
Liberty
on
Liberty should
Road.
Be moved
I
mean, to
I'll,
Reliance.
I live on Reliance. It's only a block difference.
Right.
But it would.
It is still in the blue.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah but there. If you move to 52, yeah. Right, then.
Yeah.
But where the one on North Main is, that one moves down to where the 82 number is.
The one on North Main is actually in on South Main.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would change. Okay, well, in any event, there would be workarounds. I just put this information in a couple days ago. I didn't really have it even when we met briefly on Friday. And so I think it was indicated to me that maybe some of the incumbents were going to be placed in the same district. And even if this is wrong, it sounds like we've still probably got four in district two.
Yes, the way this one is drawn, it would be.
The other one, there's another one here that's kind of tied. I'm going to get rid of these labels. And you'll see that...
Do we have any other questions? All right, Mr. Cooper, it looks like you did a great job explaining it.
Well, I'm always around. I've worked a lot with some other places in Maryland. For example, not long ago, we did some work with Chestertown in helping them put together a new plan. This was in 2019, really right before the release of the 2020 ban. So just holler. I'm usually around. The ACLU of Maryland, of course, is always available. They're easy to go about.
Very good. Great, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a nice evening, everyone.
Thanks, you too. We're still seeing Phil's desktop.
Can you,
and we're back. Okay. Ms. Gian, did you want to say anything?
I think Mr. Steiner is going to give a few comments.
Everybody. I don't have anything too earth-shattering to share. But I just want to say, okay, so my name's Nick Steiner. I'm a staff attorney at ACLU of Maryland. We, along with the Caroline County NAACP and the Caucus of African American Leaders, at the end of August, just sent a letter kind of outlining some of the problems that we were seeing in the at-large election system, which is at this point in violation of the Voting Rights Act. So we in our letter kind of outlined parts put them into a district system that would allow for the black community to be able to elect a candidate of their choice. And we are really appreciative of the time that Mayor Hafner has given us and the willingness to talk and discuss these issues, that we're really hopeful moving forward that we can find some resolution here to make sure that the black vote in Petersburg isn't diluted, and really looking forward to working with you all.
Great, thank you, Mr. Steiner, we appreciate it. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I was checking the microphone, but it's fine. And I'll say good evening to you, Mayor, and to the members of the town council. My name is Willie Woods. Woods spelled W-O-O-D-S. I'm the president of the Caroline County branch of the NAACP. I'd like to begin by thanking the council for including this item on the agenda. It is one of the very important of significance to us in terms of addressing various issues that have been brought to our attention. In particular, I want to speak in support of moving towards the implementation of a system which has the district system as opposed to the current at-large system. I think it's already been explained, but in a very abbreviated way, I will say that the current at-large system is one that has been in place for a number of years. It is a system that you inherited, so we understand that you inherited the system. But at the same time, we recognize that there are problems with the system, and as Steiner just pointed out, it is out of compliance and with the current law, and we're looking at a system that will bring everything in compliance at the same time address the issues of the black community in particular. And that is one of the reasons I stand here, because some of the issues that are in the black community that have gone either unaddressed, have been brought to our attention, and one of those has been their feeling of their lack of direct representation in the governance structure of the town. The proposed reform is one way that will begin to address that particular concern that residents have. As we look at this, we know that the voting rights are very, very important. It is fundamental and foundational in our representative government system. So I won't comment further beyond that other than to say we want to do all that we can to help assure that that system remains viable for all the residents of the town. We support moving to the system for reform involving districts. Also, from a historical standpoint, at a very abbreviated sense, we know that a number of changes have occurred over the years since Fogelsburg was established, and none of those changes have occurred in terms of laws as well as legislation, including even adjustments and amendments to our United States Constitution. So looking at all of those pieces as additional support for the need to make reform. And finally, just as a practical piece and as a piece to conclude, I will say that we encourage you to continue your exploration some kind of reform in our current election system in Federalsburg, so as to, again, help assure that the voice of all of the residents can be represented and heard. And the fact that you are discussing it this evening is very encouraging, and we're hopeful that that suggests that you too recognize a need that over the years, many years, and one system has been in place, you are now in a position for making decisions that can significantly influence the direction that the town of Federalsburg will take in the future as it looks at its election system. And I hope that you will look at that as a wonderful opportunity to look at what is, changes which have been made, how we can make modifications and move forward. Again, developing every opportunity for the community to have its voice heard, to have issues that may be more central and understood by certain populations brought to the table and addressed as needed. So again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to have comment, and also thank you for bringing up this issue, and we're hopeful that it will be not just an issue that's brought up, but an issue that will be addressed. Mm-hmm. And in terms of moving forward to an implementation plan, the Caroline County branch of the NACP either of the plans that has been presented, the district plan, is workable for us. We will yield, in a sense, to the residents of Federalsburg in terms of what will be their strong preference. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So Dr. Woods is a tough act to follow, but if anybody else would like to step up and speak at the podium, please do. Please state your name and your address.
Hello, my name is Mackenzie Wardley, Vordley. I just currently opened my salon here on Main Street, 203 North Main Street. I'm not sure if you not haven't seen me from the town, come over. So I am the granddaughter of Miss Roberta Butler. I grew up observing how she and many other blacks in the Federalsburg community worked hard every day for the betterment of this town. This same desire has been instilled in me and many others who witnessed their commitment. We have experienced firsthand or through observation with the lack of representation in the governance structure of the town community. Everything from feeling mistreated or not heard, understood, or seeming to lack of clarity or confusion about some election procedures and processes. In short, matters of concern to black residents have been left unaddressed far too often despite the growing black population. It's time for a change. As I understand it, Federalsburg currently has an at-large election system which has been in place since the formation of the town. This system is described in federal legislation as racially discriminatory and unlawful. The election reform options, which include proposed election districts, is a remedy for the current system. I speak in favor of the town exploring the district system. It has many benefits over the current system besides the current system is deemed unlawful. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Ryan Haynes. I am HAYNES of 222 Brooklyn Avenue. I graduated from Colonel Richardson High School a few years ago, and I would like to ask the town mayor and town council members to seriously explore with representatives of the minority community the various election reform options I understand you have. In high school and beyond, I learned the importance of exercising my civic responsibilities for the betterment of our society and our country. We learned in a representative government the right to vote in electing public officials and adopting or rejecting proposals is essential. Our vote is our voice. Today we witness nationwide through news and social media the nation facing some of its greatest threats to basic voting rights. I encourage Federalsburg to be proactive, although long overdue. Please take the stand for the protection. protection of fair voting practices as described in federal legislation. Make appropriate modifications to reform the town's election system. I speak today, and what I see is a small part of fulfilling my civil responsibility for the betterment of society. I look forward to living in and being a productive citizen of in a community where my voting rights are protected, my voice is heard, and representative, and I'm afforded every opportunity to fulfill the American dream alongside persons of all races, ethnic groups, and nationalities. Thank you.
Good evening. I'll let the young folks get up here first. And I'll follow them behind him. My name is Roberta E. Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R. I live 317 Brooklyn Avenue, Fallsburg, Maryland. Like I said, I've lived here all my life. Except for 3 days I was in the hospital. I have been a resident of Fallsburg in the Fallsburg area for many years. I came to speak to support of this town council taking the step necessary to change the elected system in Fallsburg so that the system meets civil rights Maryland population. This action is long overdue. I believe it will be grateful to help solve the concern among the black residents about our lack of reputation of the town council. Fallsburg is my home, my hometown. And I want to see the best that it can be for my children, grandchildren, and all residents of the town. Mm-hmm. As you know, Fallsburg has a sizable population of blacks and other people of color. Unfortunately, we have no representation on the town council yet. The town council will make decisions that affect all of us. We had no responsibility now. Frequently, we had never had that. You probably had noticed over the year that I frequently observed the meeting of the town council. I even, although unsuccessful, ran for the town council seat a few years ago. Mm-hmm. It pains me deeply to see our voice missing at the decision-making table. Mm-hmm. Our voice is missing whether we bring up issues we care about or responsibility to the issue others bring. Whether we discuss communication methods, health care issues, town recognized employment issue, or whatever, the lack of our participation is very discouraging. Mm-hmm. Frequently, I'm disappointed. Mm-hmm. But we can't give up. Mm-hmm. We got to keep on going. Mm-hmm. This is our town too. The reform of that system in Fallsburg include having election district is needed. It will help us solve this problem. But thank y'all for including this issue on your agenda. I'm looking forward to possible outcome. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Darlene Hammond. I live here in Fallsburg. And I just wanted to bring to the forefront what I experienced when I ran for town council many years ago. I ran because I saw a need in the community for change. I care about the community, the children, and just, you know, so many things can, there's so much promise here. And what I experienced when I ran, which I have, I don't know whether it's ever happened since then, they had a formed meeting where they held it up to the Fellowsburg Art Company, and the people that were running for office, which at the point it wasn't that many, a lot of people would happen to jump on at the last minute. And so here I was put in front of all these people and asked all these questions. And I felt so intimidated and so not wanted to be a part of the Fellowsburg Town Council. Mm-hmm. And of course I didn't win. And, you know, I did want to win because I feel as though I have a voice and I can, you know, I love people. I love the community. I love our children here. There's so much promise here. But I was so disappointed and dismayed of how, and this is not, this, you know, it's a different people here. But they came together. Mm-hmm. They came together. And they didn't want me there. So they all came together. And they had a form. And I had to ask questions, answer questions. And it was like, it was not like it was planned. It just all of a sudden, like the week before, there I was, standing for so many people in town. And I was being asked all these questions. So I'm looking for change here. I've gotten on board with a lot of different community organizations because I care. I have the time. I have the desire. But change needs to come. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm interested in being a part of the town council just because I have a lot of other things that I'm doing right now in these community settings. But that was horrible. Mm-hmm. That was horrible. Unacceptable. And it happened here in Fellowsburg. So I'm looking to each and every one of you here to make a difference. To make a difference. Just sitting here, nobody should have ever experienced me. Have they done that since?
Sorry. Thank you for sharing your story, darling.
It's got to be a change.
Jeffrey Butler. I've been a resident of Fellowsburg almost 70 years. Just to hear what that sister just said, this then, I don't know about you, but I want to ask the question. Did y'all feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, that's it's sad.
It really is.
That is really sad. And just to make it plain and simple, that now that the community is, I didn't get the exact number, but over like 50% of black, and then we look and we see no black or no person of color being on the council, the mayor. And I think it came to my attention that since the city has been in existence, there has never been a black mayor or a black councilman. That's sad.
Ooh, really, yeah.
In 2022, that is really sad. Mm-hmm. And a change definitely need to take place. Because, I see something happening in the town sometime. I just want to put this one issue out here. Like the what's the guy that he goes all over town and looks to see what's going on in the community, like the grass might be too high or wrecked cars in the yard and stuff. And it seems like to me, it's not equal how he looking over the whole city, the whole town of Fellowsburg. It seems like where people of color at, seem like he stays and finds things wrong, because I had personally had dealing with him to say something was wrong on our property, and I come uptown and some other properties that's in a white neighborhood, the same thing's going on, but nothing happened. Nothing happened, and it's not fair, it's not right, and I just hope that you guys really would see that a change, that something needs to be done. And redistricting, it need to be done. It need to be done. And I hope that you see that I'm saying. Because I'm going to be honest, you know what? If Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder was here,
they could see it.
They could see it. So I hope you see, man, the change need to take place.
All right.
Hello, everyone. I am Capri Lee. Last name is L-E-E, just three letters. I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm sitting there, and I have something that I think you all need to hear. I have lived here my whole life. I moved a short period of time, but I'm born and raised in Fellowsburg. There is a significant difference. I feel like that you all want to hear our voice, but only during election time. I see my cousin Birdie sweep with her broom our street to keep our area clean, that y'all know as Back Brooklyn. That's where I was raised. I never see a street sweeper. I haven't. Have y'all? Never. Our roads are terrible. I know for a fact of someone who has brought in a bill here to get their car, to get their money back from a realignment. When asked about our roads, it's not a concern. Oh, we're going to get to it. We got y'all a sidewalk, but that sidewalk has been here, what, 3 or 4 years? And I'm 39 years old. So that's just a small change. They said, well, we're making small changes. We don't see them. I don't personally. I hear people say, well, I see them making a change. I don't. When we want to have events, we have to go through hell and high water. Any type of event that's involving majority black people, it is really like police heavily. We're fined for the smallest pieces of trash, any little thing. And I want to see something happen here. Half of my relatives are in here. Majority of my relatives are in here. And to see them fighting for a change that they've been fighting for 30 years plus, they had to have been, because like I said, I probably was a baby when they tried to make changes. And to see that nothing has been done, the only representation that we see is Miss Shirley. And she still is behind the scenes. We're asking for a change. Some of us run, some of us don't. I'm just speaking from my mother's perspective. I have hell trying to get my mom to vote, because she says, why? Nothing's going to change. But I believe it'll change when we face it. If we keep showing up and keep the pressure, you got to change it. And this isn't directed to any of you. I know you all are trying to do the best you can. Try harder. Thank you.
Mayor and Council, good evening once again. To the City Manager, good to see you again, sir. I want, first of all, Reverend James Jones. I am the convener of the Caucus of African American Leaders on Maryland's entire Eastern Shore. That means I take care of Cecil County to Worcester County and everything in between. First and foremost, your vote not made is not heard, no matter what the circumstances are. Your voice not made, not heard is not made. You cannot make a difference if you do not vote. And I've always been a believer, if you don't vote, you have no right to say anything.
That's right, that's right.
Okay. I want you all to understand that. Mm-hmm. To the council, and to the mayor, it's imperative at this point that we address the facts of the redistricting, okay? You don't have to, but it would benefit all concerned to either go along with a 2 or a 4 district plan. That does not mean that there will be a black council member to have a voice on the council, but it's allowing them the opportunity to do so. My good friend Nick Steiner mentioned it in his presentation earlier, and so did the illustrious Dr. Willie Woods. At the present time, not just because you are at large, but the voter rights regulations are in violation. They can be fixed with simple terms. They can be fixed with simple terms. To come forward and redistrict Federalsburg would make all the difference in the world, whether it's the 2 district or the 1 district, as long as it's not at large. And yes, you must live in your district by regulations, but that can be refined also. Do I? No, I do not live in Federalsburg. I have a daughter-in-law from here. That many of you may know, Kathy, she was Kathy Spry, she's now Kathy Jones, that is my daughter-in-law. So I have a concern for all the communities from Cecil County to Worcester County. I ask of you to really consider making districts here in Federalsburg that is going to please the people, is going to satisfy the council, and it's going to make your living environment much more pleasant and grateful. That's all I have to say for now.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you for all of your input. We appreciate you guys coming to the meeting and sharing your thoughts. So we truly do appreciate that. Next on our agenda, we have the quick claim deed request for Hayman Drive. Town Manager DeReep.
Madam Mayor, members of council, the quick claim deed for Hayman Drive is a part of the development of the Choptank Community Health System. It is there's a map in the packet, which shows the area. Again, this is a relatively minor legal action to move ownership over to the town from the current owner. The current owner does not seem interested in allowing road access to the Choptank Community Health Development. So this is been a request. Mm-hmm. That the town take over the corridor, which will be improved as part of construction, so it'll be a brand new access road.
Did you want to add anything?
Yes, so when I initially sent this request out, I had sent with an email suggesting that if you all were going to agree to take this over, you would require the Choptank give you an agreement or a signed letter stating that they would improve the road so that you're not taking ownership of a gravel or dirt pathway and residents complain to you all to improve it if it's never improved by Choptank. I spoke to their attorney last week and he didn't feel that would be a problem, so if you wanted to approve it, you could approve it based on the condition of receiving said signed agreement.
Does anybody have any questions? Councilman Willoughby?
I'm good with it.
Councilman Phillips?
So we're talking all the way around the food line, plus whatever new road gets put in will be taken in.
Correct.
Has anybody talked to him yet about their entrance and exit plans? Coming behind food line isn't a very good scenario, is it? My personal, right now they got...
Isn't there a sign anywhere that they don't want you back there?
There is one now, but if that's what they're looking at, I'm not sure why we're taking that in when they can just come up to... I don't know the road name, I'm sorry.
Hargraves.
To what, where Chop Tank is now, take a left and another left and come right in without us having to take in a road that nobody seems to want, probably because it costs too much money to upkeep to start with. I meant.
So Chop Tank's going to take care of that entire road, even around the grocery store? I mean, I misunderstood, and I thought it was just from Hargraves to...
That's what I thought.
...to Haman. I didn't realize it was around
it's
the grocery
entire
store.
Entire...
I see it outlined there, but
that's what they want us to take
to
over, right? The entire thing.
To the
or did I misunderstand that?
Well, it's the entire corridor. Obviously, the upgrade will be first to provide access to the mid-center.
So we already have Haman up to the end of the doctor's office.
Right.
So they're looking for us to come in off of Fettlesburg Highway, around Food Line, and then that stretch up beside Food Line on the way into the car wash. I'm all for doing whatever we can to help Chop Tank to get that build up there.
So
I would like a little more information on what their flow of traffic is, like behind Food Line, and what they're actually planning on before we just wholeheartedly say okay to them.
I was under the impression they would come up Haman, and where you currently turn left,
you
like you're going to go to the car wash.
Turn right.
They
would be
that's
creating
what I was,
a road there.
They very right. well may be, but see, the problem's going to be, the problem is where that's going to hook in.
Right.
Right now is Rural Farms property.
I know that, yeah.
So they want us to take all that.
Right. But that, no, but it's not saying we have to build a road around.
Well, that's
no
question.
No, no. I'm saying it's already there. I'm just saying
right.
I'm curious as far as upkeep and all that. The road can't be built that good because there's worse potholes than that than almost any street in town, and that's saying something.
That is a horrible pothole right there going into Food Lion.
So, I would like to know their flow of traffic, what kind of traffic, because if they're building what they say... Lucky for us, but we also, or maybe we need to tell them how that traffic needs to flow. And as long as it's coming up Haman and taking a right hand turn or coming out Hargraves, and that's fine, but I don't want to take all this in and then find out there's 400 cars a day riding on that behind, or 1,000 behind Food Line and tearing that up every other week because of the sheer traffic of it.
But isn't it going to have, and I could be wrong too, two access, one from the apartment side?
Well, so this...
Yes, I'm assuming they're going to build through that field a straight road.
Right.
Or an extension of what's already there.
There's Food Line.
Is that Hargraves too?
Yeah.
It makes the left hand and goes all the way back, so...
Did they have a full-on site plan at planning and zoning?
Chop Tank.
Chop Tank for the new
not
building.
I don't think they have yet.
This was the impression that I thought. It was just this part that they were asking us to do, not
the
whole horseshoe.
Is there a way to modify
the
request?
I thought Rural Farms owned this.
Right.
In order to hook to it, we're having to take all this in.
Yeah.
They're asking us to take
it
all.
They want you to take it all because it's all.
So my problem is, if they're seeing 1,000 patients, how many are coming in here and tearing up back here that we're responsible, whereas this is more of a road than what this is.
So technically, should Royal Farms be fixing the puddle?
Yes.
Just
kidding.
Well, they can't even.
That's
even
my
clean,
understanding,
though, so.
But you know, so, I'm all for it. I just would like a little clarification on, you know, if they told me that they're playing, or if we could make it so you can't get behind Food Line, you got to come in off Haman. I think would be better than coming in.
Yeah, like if they only paved that, but then they put some type of barrier here.
Yes. Because if you have all them people start coming in off 313, you got trucks that park over there to the side of the bank and everything else, mm-hmm. I think you're going to have problems that we don't really need to.
So we've got a meeting in two weeks-ish. Mm-hmm. Can we just ask them to come and tell us what their plan is?
Yep.
All right.
Just so we understand.
Yeah.
Exactly what they...
Because I think we have an assumption what their plan is, but I get where there's a gray area.
We're thinking something different than what they are asking. So.
All right. I move to postpone this discussion until our November meeting when representatives can come and talk with us about their plan.
Or even submit a letter with a little more detail of their traffic flow.
Right.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor?
Nothing at this time.
Councilwoman Sewell?
First of all, I want to congratulate everyone on a fantastic event on Saturday night, kicking off the bicentennial. It's a great event, well attended, and a great way to start, build some vision for next year. And I also want to invite everyone to the community conversation session that will be here upstairs at Town Hall here up in the Senior Center on Wednesday. That'll be the 19th from 6 to 7:30. Some of you may have attended the one in the spring, and then there was another one in September. This is a follow-up to that. You're invited to lend your voice to be a part of building a community that creates opportunities for children, students, and families. It's facilitated by Kat Stork from Shore Strategies, and it's hosted by the Human Services Council. So I encourage all of you to come out, and especially after some of the comments tonight. This is the kind of things they want to hear, and they want to work into a plan for our community. So spread the word.
Congratulate Historical Society on a good Heritage Day Saturday. They had a good turnout. Mm-hmm. Local author selling his book about basketball coaches on the Midshore. But that was a good event. So, and that's all.
All right, Councilman Welby.
So, we were joking before the meeting that it was really just last week. It feels like it was last month. But it was really just last week that Mayor Abner and Councilwoman Sewell and I were in Annapolis for Maryland Municipal League's fall conference. A lot of discussion went with other municipal leaders from around the state. And my gauge, this is only the second time I've gone. You know, I've only been here a year, so you have two a year. So when you can hear conversations and you're like, oh, we need to really do that, and then you hear other conversations and you're like, oh, but we already do that, and you're somewhere in the middle, I feel like when we're somewhere in the middle, we're okay. And so you get a lot of good ideas. You come back really energized. If only you could come back from MML with a $10 million budget surplus and the ability to waive all the regulations and just make all the rules you want right then, you could really get something done. But that's not how it works. But it's a really good opportunity for folks to get professional development. Did have a very nice event Saturday night, so congratulations to everybody that is involved in that. 2023 being our bicentennial should be very exciting, and it's hopeful we can get a lot of community involvement. And just to everybody that came out tonight, thank you for coming out. We've had AquaCon for the last couple meetings. And we've had, these chairs have been filled. And whether you're coming out to raise a concern, to just listen and get information, to speak up on an issue, or to just let your opinion be known, the more people that are either on Zoom or out in the audience, the better this government works. Mm-hmm. And the meetings that I don't like are the ones where there's nobody sitting here. And so thank you guys for coming out, for getting up, for sharing. That's how we make it better, is we all work together. So thank you guys.
That's it. Thank you. I also would like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. I ran for office 3 years ago because I wanted Fredericksburg to be better. I know we can be better, and I know what we're destined to be, and I have a vision for where to get, and I think the community as a whole will help us get there. So I'm excited for what the future holds and how great our town can be. So I appreciate you guys coming out, giving us your input, and participating in this process. I would also like to thank everybody that came out and supported the bicentennial event. We had a sold-out event at the Historical Society. we saw a few of you there. It was great. If you have not been to the Historical Society, they have a lot of great stuff, and they are really looking to improve what they have there. But we need community input to help build some better displays so that all communities are represented at the Historical Society. So we had a wonderful time. The posters that were there that evening will be hanging. We were going to start using the window in front of the police department to post things of what's going on in events and flyers that will be going on posters for the next year for the bicentennial, as well as we purchased extra copies to put in the front windows along Main Street. So as you're walking down Main Street, you also have an idea of the schedule of events and what's going on for 2023, as well as other things that are going on around town. We recognize that as a council, we're really good at the digital push, but we have a challenge getting to every resident of Fredericksburg, so not everybody is on Facebook or the internet. So we are looking to ways to help get the word out and help share what's going on in this town to make it a better place for everybody and have everybody participate in what we're doing. Our next event is a fishing tournament on November 5th. We are doing Madness on the Marshy Hope on November 5th. That is a blue catfish tournament. There will be a free fishing derby for the youth. We will have music. We have food trucks. We will have lots of education about the invasive species of blue catfish. If you are not familiar with the blue catfish, they are super tasty. They are not bottom dwellers, so they do not taste muddy at all. And they are eating everything in our river. Their jaws are adapting to eat other things. So there has been one pulled out of the river. He was close to 50 pounds. He had an adult wood duck in its stomach. That's what these guys are eating. They don't leave anything behind. It's just they swim and eat. They were released in 1974 by the DNR in Virginia. They weren't supposed to leave the freshwater of the James River, and they did. They have now come up the Chesapeake Bay, and it is estimated that 70% of the biomass in Maryland rivers is blue catfish, which are eating crabs, clams, oysters, sturgeon, everything that's in the river, these catfish are eating. So it's really important we, you know, spread the awareness. The kids are going to have a great time. We have prizes for the kids for the fishing derby. We have free fishing equipment for the kids that don't have fishing equipment. So we will be giving away free fishing equipment. We're teaching them how to fish, how to have a good time, and educate them about the importance of conservation on the river and how important our resources are. So hope you guys come out. It's going to be a great day. Pray for good weather so we don't have to use a rain date. So it's going to be a great event. We've got a lot of great stuff going on here in town, and we look forward to community participation.
Can I just piggyback on that?
Yep.
Just real, I said we've had a lot of folks in our meetings in the last couple of times, and AquaCon has been a big focus of that. And a lot of folks, you know, when they were making their presentations, the sturgeon was the focus of it. And I know folks saw the news last week that AquaCon has taken their permit out. But that doesn't save the sturgeon. The sturgeon are still being eaten by these invasive species. They still have other things that are going on. So just because that project right now might go in a different direction, who knows, doesn't mean that we're all good now in the creek. So the same energy that was out for the last couple weeks for that particular issue, we got to keep it up. And I've asked different groups, now that you have, you know, now that we have changed gears a little bit, what's your plan now to harness that awareness and do something with it? So please, you know, as folks came out and said, look, we got to protect our creek, we got to save our creek, we got to keep it, yes, But just because there was a press release on Friday doesn't mean you stop. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. So that's my 2 cents.
Thank you, because it's true.
I have a question.
Yes,
you
sir.
You said that Aquaculture took out their application.
They asked MDE to not consider their permit. Yeah.
To not have to not put water on the river. Mm-hmm. That's all they've done is they've removed their withdrawal permit.
Yep.
So that means the Reverend Fish has you fish, huh? I've tried it 3 times in my life. I've caught a cold, a boot, and a twig.
Well, catch some blue catfish for
right?
us.
20 seconds?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. They say it's how you hold your mouth.
20 seconds. Right? Pretty much, I'm quite sure that this is a question that might, that the response might have to come from Esquire Ryan. We're still working on a time schedule. As far as the districting is concerned, and I know that my constituents with the ACLU are graciously waiting for a response from the council. I would just ask that as expeditiously as you can, that you get back with them. To me, it looks good. It looks good. And I'm not talking about the redistricting. I'm talking about the fact that you, the council, because we've spoken with the mayor, with your great city manager, and with your attorney. We've spoken with them, and they actually put not the weight on you guys, but you guys are a deciding factor also. I would just ask that in your consideration that you do it expeditiously so that that keeps everything moving and flowing comfortably.
Understood.
And if you ever need anything from the caucus, you have my card. You have my card. You have cards. I'm there for you.
Don't give up fishing.
If you come November 5th, I'll get you a free fishing license and you can learn how to fish.
You know, I have more luck going to the water dock, literally going to the docks on the boardwalk and taking the long pole net and scooping nice size number ones or jumbos off the poles than I do cast a line out and catching anything.
I'd rather have the crabs anyway.
Yeah. and I get the best crabs there.
But
not in a basket that you threw out, not in the cage that you threw in the water. You walk down those piers on the ocean and in the bay, and you look off there, don't fall in. But you look off there, you can take that pole and you go down behind. Whoo! Next. But right now, I'm just on my hard working pole.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, and I want to personally thank you. You hit the nail on the head on one particular topic. People voting. The mm-hmm. people have got to get out and vote.
We have about 200 people.
When I met with your wonderful mayor, she said a little over 200 mm-hmm. Cassie mm-hmm. votes.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. First time I got elected, I was the highest vote getter sitting on the council, and I had 125, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
And that's when people can vote for me twice. So let's think of it, not twice, but you know, you're voting for each person's voting for two people,
right?
So 125-1. I meant, to me, that's ridiculous. I meant, you know, so
mm-hmm. voting, they'll fix those potholes.
That and the $10 million that we would like to have would be wonderful.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we're working on it. We are working on the streets. We are working on the streets. One of them up is in Brooklyn. You guys are on that list. So, okay. Does anybody have anything else for the greater good?
No, ma'am.
All right. I will take a motion to adjourn, please.
We make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes.